John Dean warned President Nixon of a cancer growing on his presidency on account of some bad apples who had worked their way to positions of influence in the Nixon administration. This time around, it's a little difficult to conceive of the cloud following Clinton from Little Rock to Washington as a staffing problem. Trouble follows Clinton whether he is in the Excelsior Hotel or the Oval Office, whether his associates are James and Susan McDougal, his Whitewater partners, or Vernon Jordan and Betty Curry, or whether his subordinates are Arkansas state troopers or former bar bouncer Craig Livingstone. It's hard to explain this as a coincidence. Clinton's defense is essentially that he is not impeachable because his conduct is so disreputable that the framers could not have conceived of it. This is the important part of the incessant claim that the president is not subject to impeachment or indictment and that no one cares because his offenses are only about sex. The framers never expected a man like Clinton to become president. Rather, they anticipated, with great probability, that any man elevated to the presidency would have certain characteristics. He would be a man of abilities, at least respectable. The office of the president, and to some extent the Senate, would require men of character, notable for their wisdom and integrity. But they also assumed that the office would elevate the man. It would naturally beget a livelier sense of duty and a more exact regard to reputation. That is, in fact, one of Hamilton's arguments for a single president in opposition to a populace fearful of getting another king. Vesting all the executive power in a single man, Hamilton argued, would cause him to feel himself under stronger obligations. The stronger obligations and lively sense of duty the framers counted upon were obligations and duties to the entire country. In this regard, the president was quite unlike members of Congress who would carry their local prepossessions or biases with them. As James Madison said in Federalist No. 46, when the president has an impaired sense of duty and obligation to the nation and absolutely no regard to his reputation, the infirmity would naturally be expected to infect the entire country. Instead of reflecting Americans' virtues and aspirations, President Clinton reflects the country's dark side. He has debased the White House, the administration, and the entire country, not only by what he has done, but also by how he has defended himself. Nixon was almost impeached in part for lying to the American people and for engaging his White House intimates in a pageant of obfuscation. Clinton has done worse than lie. He has told lies that no one can believe and forced those around him to lie as well. And then he and his cronies have denied not only the facts, but even basic standards of decency. Nixon eventually resigned in shame. Clinton's legacy is that he has no shame, no sense of duty or obligation to the country, and no concern for his own reputation. O.J. is the model of Clinton's second term. He has no alibi, no story whatsoever, and he has left a trail of DNA across a string of Jane Does. He just says he didn't do it, and refuses to explain anything further. In this recurring nightmare of a presidency, we have to have a national debate about whether he did it, even though all sentient people know he did. Otherwise, there would be debates only about whether to impeach or assassinate, or the relative merits of the terms scumbag and pervert. No one believes he's not guilty, except the usual 30% of people who remain willfully ignorant on every subject. Clinton's shameless refusal to leave office voluntarily has led directly to monstrous factions of hypnotized zombies spouting the absurd. Like a cancer, his own lack of integrity has infected the nation. By refusing to go gracefully as is possible under the circumstances, he has dragged the whole country into a public debate about the indefensible. Parties, more or less friendly to the accused, are forced into taking absurd positions. People who used to say controversial but not preposterous things are now having to twist themselves into pretzels to defend him. The line of defense shifts away from protests that the president is innocent to charges that the accusers have bad motives, even if their accusations happen to be true.